Okay, today's daf is daf nun aleph. So let's take it from two lines from the top. The Gemara says, "Hahu Yasam v'Yisoma da Asla Kami de Rava." Yasam and Yisoma both came to Rava. They needed some money. So Amalu Rava says, "Amalu Rava, hey Alu Yasam b'Shil Yisoma." He said that they should give extra money from the estate to the Yisomim, the boys, so that they should have a surplus and help support their sisters, the Yisomos. So Amru Lehi Rabban, Rabban say back to Rava, "Vaha Mar Hud Amar Mimar Karkari Lomi B'Taltale." Doesn't Rava himself hold that you're only allowed to collect from the estate to pay for mizonos when it comes from karka, not from metaltalim? So how could Rava suggest that they should give metaltalim to pay mizonos to the yisomos? How do we know? Again, da'amar mimar karkari v'lo mimetaltale, bein l'mizone, bein l'ksuba, bein l'farnasa. Whatever you're coming to support, whether it's mizonos, whether it's ksuba, whether it's farnasa, it could only come from karka, can't come from karka, can't come from metaltalim. So how could he suggest that you use the metaltalim to pay for the parnasa of the yisomos? So Amar Lahu Rava says back, Ilu Ratza Shivcha L'Shamisho Milo Yehevinilei. If let's say the Yasam wanted to acquire Shivcha, so the Shivcha could serve him, to wait for him, and would whatever he needs, all the services he needs, would we not use from the Metaltin to buy for him a Shivcha? Certainly in this situation where there's two things. What are the two things? Number one is the sisters will help serve him, will help take care of things around the house. And number two is they're sisters and they want the sisters to be comfortable. So therefore, this particular case, he would allow them to use metaltalim to help the yisomos. So Gemara then says, Tani Rabbanan, Echad nechasim sheishlam achrayos, whether it's properties that have achrayos, which is another way of saying karka, Echad nechasim sheishlam achrayos, or properties that have no achrayos, which is metaltalim. In other words, whether it's karka, whether it's metaltalim, motzin limazon ish levanos, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds, you're allowed to extract money from the boys in order to help support the girls. Whether using karka or metaltalim, you're allowed to use the money to collect parnasa for the banos. That's divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon Elazar says there's a difference between karka and metaltalim. He says, Rebbe Shimon Elazar Omer, nechasim sheishim achrayos, if it's property that has achrayos, which is another way of saying karka, so you could take karka motzin. If the boys collected all the karka, you could extract the karka from their possession, lebanos, to pay the daughters minabanim, meaning if their daughters among sons, and the sons were machzik on the property, you could take the karka to pay the banos. And lebanos minabanos, let's say they're only girls in the family, and the gedolos, the adult girls, took all the property, they didn't pay the younger girls, you could take from the banos the gedolos to give to banos the katanos. And similarly, if they're only boys, and the banim gedolim took all the property, you could be motzi from the banim gedolim and minakat banim to give to the younger boys. And if they're banim minabanos, and if they're, let's say they're boys and girls, and all the girls took the property, you could even take from the girls to pray karka to the boys if it's minachasim merubin, if there's a lot of property that was inherited. Avalo levanim minabanos minachasim muatim, but to take from the girls and to give to the boys in a situation where there's very limited property, that much we don't allow. Because we said earlier, and Rashi quotes this Gemara, that if there's a choice of either supporting the girls or the boys, there's only a choice of one, not both of them, we support the girls, and we don't make the girls go house to house to ask for money, rather the boys go house to house to ask for money. And therefore, we don't take from the girls to pay from the boys if there's limited property. But that is all only when discussing Nechashim Sheishim Achrayos, karka, that's within Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. But then he says, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, nechasim she'ein lemachraos. If it's property that doesn't have a chraos, doesn't have a responsibility to pay, in other words, a metaltlin, then you're motzi'in levanim minabanos, ulevanos minabanos, ulevanim minabanos. You take from the boys, the older boys to pay the younger boys, or from the older girls to pay the younger girls, or from the boys to pay the girls. Avalo levanos minabanos. But you don't take metaltlin from the boys to give to the girls. That much you don't do, because we hold that only metaltin could be used to pay for parnasa, only karka could be used to pay for parnasa of the girls, not karka. So it comes out here, there's a machlokas, whether or not the Tanakam Rebbe held, you could even use metaltin to pay the girls parnasa, and when Bishma Lazar says you can only use karka to pay parnasa for the banos. How do you paskin bottom line? The Gemara says, Yafagav de kaimelon halacha k'rebi mechaveiro. Even though in general, whenever Rebbe has a machlokas against one other person, we always choose Rebbe over his chaver. Hach, in this particular case, halacha, k'rem Shimon Elazar, pas k'makim, da'amar Rava hilchasa mi mekarkai v'mizbatal talai. Here we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that holds we only collect from the karka, we don't collect from the metaltalim, Bein l'ksuba, bein l'mizona, bein l'parnasa. We only use karka to pay ksuba, to pay mizonos, and to pay parnasa. We don't use metalton to pay these particular items. So now the new Mishnah tells us here in Daf Nun Aleph as follows. Lo kasav, let's say in the ksuba, it's not written, lo kasav la ksuba, besula govim mesayim. Let's say they leave out of the ksuba that the besula is supposed to collect 200. Or they leave out almana mana, and the almana collects 100. They left those items out of the ksuba. The din is mipnei shutanayu bezdin. It still works. The psula still gets it. Mana still collects the 200 and 100 respectively because that's a tanai bezdin. That's not tala in being written in the document. That's a necessary component of the marriage. Similarly, kasav la sadeh shave mana tachas masayim zuz. Let's say they said as a lien that you could collect from this field which is worth only 100. You could collect from there to pay the ksuba. Velo kasav, and he did not write in the ksuba. Kol nechasim dislan achrayin. All the husband's property, there's a lien on to pay the ksuba. He doesn't write, let the ksuba seich chayv. He's still, nonetheless, all the property that the husband owned at the time of the marriage has a lien to pay for the ksuba, shehu tanai bezin. That too is a tanai bezin, meaning you don't have to specify these things. You certainly should, but if it doesn't mention 200 and 100, and it doesn't mention kol nechasim achrayin, there's all going to have a lien. They're all the properties will have a lien to pay for the ksuba. And furthermore, lo kasav la im tishtabi afrakinach, if the wife gets captured and the husband has a responsibility to redeem it, if that's not written in the ksuba, vosvina lach leinsu, and I'm going to bring you back, return you back to be my wife, if it's not written. And similarly, the kohenes adrinach lemidinasech, and the kohenes, they have a kohen, he has to also redeem his wife, even though when he redeems her, he can't stay married because a woman who's nensa is asked to her husband who's a kohen, but still he has an obligation to redeem her, and then she goes back home and she gets divorced and remarried if she wants. Those responsibilities of the husband redeeming his wife, although it may not be written in the ksuba, chayiv, one still has a responsibility as a husband, shu tanai bezdin. That's also tanai bezdin that must be as part of the relationship. Nishbeis chayiv levdoso. If she gets captured, the husband has an obligation to redeem her. Im amar, but if he says to her, hare gita v'ksubasa v'tiftes atma, he says, you know what? Here's your get. Here's your ksuba. Go redeem yourself. Ein rasha, he's not allowed to do so. He has an obligation to redeem her. He can't divorce her while she's in captivity. If, however, luxa, if she gets ill, chayiv levdoso, he has to heal her. He has to pay for the medical costs. Amar, but he says to her, hare gita v'ksubasa, he says, you know what? I don't want to pay for your medical costs. Here's your get. Here's your ksuba. Tirat peyes asma, redeem your refuya, heal yourself. Rashai, he's allowed to do so. And Rashi explains the reason why he's allowed to do so by refua, because refua is considered mizonos. Rashi writes, chayv lirfoso, she refua is kimizonos. Rashai she'ein adam chayv lozen grushasov. He divorces his wife. He has no obligation to support her. So he said, I'm divorcing you, and here you are. Support yourself with mizonos. Support yourself with refua. So one does not need to pay for refua if he chooses to divorce her. So there is a machlokas rishonim of what the chiv refua is for the husband. So Rashi clearly states that it's in the same category as mizonos. But the Ritva argues and says, no, there's a separate takanas chachamim. It doesn't hinge on mizonos. There's a separate requirement that a husband has to pay for the refuah, the medical costs of his wife. So there's an afkamina. Let's say this is a situation whereby the husband does not have to support her. She says, you know what? I don't ain't any zonos mecha. I don't want to be supported by mizonos. I'll support myself. So then, according to the Rashi, he wouldn't have to pay for medical costs either because mizonos and refuah are attached to each other. But according to the Ritva, where refuah is an independent chiyuv, although in this case where she says, I don't want you to support me, he may not have an obligation to provide mizonos, but he does have an obligation to still pay for the refuah. That's an interesting machlokas that comes out. Now, another discussion that I want to have is, let's say she was poshea. She, let's say, did something negligent and made herself ill. I don't know. She jumped off a cliff and got injured. In that situation, does the husband have to pay for her or not? That was just really pure negligence. Why would he have to do something that she does something after doing something so silly? That's a discussion in the poskim, whether or not he has to pay or not. And the base mayor says as follows. With respect to the refuah, we do find that there's a distinction that if she does something bipshius, then he does not have to support and pay for the medical costs. When it comes to pidyon, however, redeeming her, so then even if she did something poshea and she was negligent and got held in captivity, taken in captivity, he still has a responsibility to redeem her. And that's because the reason why he redeems her, we don't want her to be assimilated, to be amongst the non-Jews. So regardless of how she got there, Lemaisa, she's amongst the Akum, he has an obligation to pay for nonetheless from redemption, even its Pshia, as opposed to Fua, he does not have an obligation to pay for the Pshia. So let's go back inside the Gemara. The Gemara says the first wide line down. So money, who is the author of our Mishnah? It must be Rabbi Meir he. Damar kol ha-poches lebesula mimasayim ulalmana mimena hareza bilas iznus. If a person tries diminishing the base amounts that one would owe a besula and almana respectively, which is 200 and 100, that is considered a bad ksuba and bilas iznus. And therefore, we don't want that to be bilas iznus. So though the amounts may not have been mentioned, it certainly was implicit that you have to have at least 200 and 100 in the ksuba. That's the shita of Rabbi Meir. Because the Rabbi Yehuda, if he had been the author of this Mishnah, Ha'amar, he is of the opinion, Ratza Kosev LeBasula, one able to write to the Basula, Shtar Shemasayim, here's a Shtar, a Ksuba worth 200, and he Kosev, and she's allowed to write back, Hiskabalti Mimcha Manu, I already accepted 100. Even though she really didn't, that was a roundabout way of her saying, I'm Mochel, I'm only willing to accept a Mana. Only Rabbi Yehuda allows that to be, by such a Ksuba, Rabbi Meir wouldn't allow that to be. Ula mana as well, mana, the hero kusuba kosevas his kabalti mimcha chamishim zuz. And she can write back, I accepted 50, which means I was mochel on 50, you only owe 50. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda says you could actually change the amount of the ksuba. It could be 100, 150, 50, it could even be zero. So the fact that our Mishnah says that if you didn't write any amount in the ksuba, you have to imply 200 and 100, that can only be Shitas Rabbi Meir who requires that, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda does not require it. And the Gemara says, okay, so if the Reisha right now was authored by Rabbi Meir, who requires 200 and 100 respectively, Ema Seifa. Now pay attention to the Seifa. The Seifa we learned, which is the second stage of the Mishnah, Kasav la sadeh shaveh mar natachas masayim zuz, v'lo kasav le'kol nechasim disle'a charayin l'chsubaseich, and he didn't write that all the properties, there's a charas, there's a lien in all the properties of the husband to pay the ksuba. But if that was not written, it still is implied, chayiv shehuch t'nai bezdim, that's a t'nai bezdim. So who authored this Seifa? Us in the Rabbi Yehuda. This must be Rabbi Yehuda. We just said the Reish is Rabbi Meir, but this must be Rabbi Yehuda. How so? Damar Acharayos Taos Sofru. Nobody would write a document and not write the Acharayos, the responsibility that the Lova has. Lova has to owe the money to the bank. The her husband owes money to the wife. So if you didn't write Acharayos that my property has liens on it, it's implied, it was there, it's a Taos Sofer, that was a mistake. It certainly should have been there, so even though he didn't write a Chraos, we assume it was supposed to be there, and it is there. So that must be Rabbi Yehuda Shita. That's Rabbi Yehuda who says, if he didn't write a Chraos, it still has a Chraos. How do we see this? Because the Rabbi Meir, Ha'amar Chraos Lav Taos Sofer here. He holds no. Sometimes a person will write a document, will write an agreement, and not have any responsibility. That's not a Taos Sofer, that's not a mistake, that was done willingly. The time we have the Mishnah, where do we see such a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir with respect to Acharayos not being written? The time the Mishnah tells us this is the end of the first paragraph of Maseches Bava Metzia. Matzah Shtarichov, let's say you find a document. You find the document that Reuven owed Shimon money. So what should you do? Should you return it back to the rightful owner? Im Yesh goes on to the Gemara now in Beis. Im Yesh ben Acharayos Nechasim. So let's say it's written on it that this property, the guy owes money, and if he doesn't pay back, the Malva could collect from the Lovis property. If it says that Acharayos on the document, Lo yachser, we don't return back. Why? Because what may have happened, let's say Reuven paid his debt. So Shimon collected his money. And then Reuven holds on to it, so Shimon can't collect it again. But Reuven lost it, and you give it back to Shimon, Shimon's going to collect a second time. That's not fair to Reuven. So lo yachser, we don't return it to Bezdin Nifron Man. Because Bezdin might use his document to collect a second time, and Reuven, that's not fair. But ein behem achraos, if there's no achraos on the property in the chasim, then yachzer, you're allowed to actually return it. She'ein bezdin nifran mehen divrei Rabbi Meir. If it doesn't say achraos, so then there's not much of a loss here, because if you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, Rashi says, yesh b'm achraos, top line nechasim, she'shiba lova nechasiv le'ose malva. The lova had all his properties with the lien of the malva on them. Lo yachzer anu, you shouldn't return it back, motel malva. Don't return this to the bank. Afil halove mo, the inner of the love agrees that he owes money. We don't trust him, Rashi goes on to explain, because we're concerned maybe the Malva and the love played some trick. They tried having the love collect the second time. The love says, I've got no money, and they'll collect from the properties that the lien is on from love to some other guy who bought from the love. So if I'm the love and I sold to Levi, and the Malva collects me a second time, I don't have the money, they say, okay, we'll collect the property from Levi that I sold to. And that won't be fair. But if it doesn't say Achraios, and I, the Lova, I admit to it, so I should owe the money back, but we can't put someone else's property in such a risk. So therefore, there's a distinction whether Achraios is written or Achraios is not written. Rav Meir says if Achraus isn't written, we don't assume that Achraus is implied there. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Chachamim Omrim, Echad Zeh, four lines down in Amud Beis here, Echad Zeh ve'Echad Zeh, whether or not it says Achraus explicitly, or even if it doesn't say Achraus explicitly, Lo Yachzer, we don't return, should Bezdin Nifrar Mehen, Bezdin will still collect from the Lekuchos, because we always assume Achraus is there. And if it's not written, it's a tel sofer. It should have been there. So this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, whether Achraus is tel sofer or not, the our Mishnah says it certainly is a tel sofer, and it should be there, Achraus. That goes like Chachamim, who's Rabbi Yehuda, and not like Rabbi Meir. So on one hand, we have the Reisha is Rabbi Meir, that you always have to have at least 100, 200 in the Ksuba. And then we have the Sefer is Rabbi Yehuda, that holds Achraus is tel sofer. So Gemara says, are you going to suggest that the Reish is Rabbi Meir or the Seif is Rabbi Yehuda? Have two different authors of the same Mishnah. V'chitem, if you're going to tell me, Kula Rabbi Meir, it's really all Rabbi Meir. V'shaini leira Rabbi Meir, bein ksuba l'shtar. Maybe, when does Rabbi Meir hold that Achraus is not a tel sofer? You're allowed to leave the word Achraus off. Maybe shtaros in general. But maybe by a ksuba, he says Achraus would be tel sofer. And if it was not written, it should have been written, and we assume it was supposed to be there, and we assume that it's Achraus. So maybe there's a distinction between Ksub and Shtar Legabe Achraus, according to Rabbi Meir. Umishanilai, is that really true? Does he make such a distinction? Vatani, the Braisa clearly tells us. Chamisha Govin Mina Mechurarin. There are five things that a person collects from only the karkals that are Mechurarim, that are free, and you cannot collect from Mishubadim, meaning there are no Achraus in these cases. Ve'eluhain, Peros Vishrach Peros. Let's say a Gazan steals someone's property and he sells it to somebody else, so the Nigzal is able to collect the property from the person who bought, the Lokach who bought from the Gazan, but he's not allowed to collect Peros and Mishvach Peros, the fruits, from any Karka, only from Karka Mishuchar, not from Mishubadim. That's one category, not our point. HaMakaba Lav Lazan Es Ben Isha Bas Isha. Person says, I'll support his wife's son, his wife's daughter. The daughter and son can only collect from the Karka Mishuchar, not from the Karka Mishubadim. If there's a get that's written, a document, a regular shtar, that there's no achraus, you can only collect from karka mechurar, not from karka mishubadim. And finally, ksubas isha, shein ba mechraos. Also, if the ksuba doesn't write achraos, you can only collect from the karka mishuchram and not from the mishubadim. So clearly, this is a case here of ksuba, and it says ksuba, and it doesn't say achraos. We don't assume that it implies achraus, meaning, ima ksuba, we can allow the word achraus to be off, and it's not considered tel sofer. So Gemara says, man shmas mila mashmas le, who is the one in general holds? Dam achraus is lav tel sofer, that person is allowed to leave the word achraus off, that's right, Meir. And yet still on the same list, just like by a shtar, get, the regular shtar, you don't have to have achraus, so too it lists ksuba as well. Katani ksuba sisha also doesn't require achraus. So we can't make such a distinction. So what comes out is we have a stira. The Rav Meir authored the Reisha, which says 100 and 200 at least. Rabbi Yehuda authored the Sefer that Achraus is considered a tel sofer. And the Gemara answers two ways. Ibais Eima Rabbi Yehuda. Ibais Eima Rabbi Meir first. Ibais Eima Rabbi Yehuda. We can explain the Mishnah according to either one. Ibais Eima Rabbi Yehuda. Hasam Kasuleis Kabalti. There she wrote, I accepted the money. Hachalo Kasuleis Kabalti. In other words, what? Over there, the situation is what normally we assume Achraus is tel sofer, but if she's mocha b'davar, she could be mocha. And therefore, don't be so bothered by the fact that the Reisha says that, she collected, there's no amount in there. It doesn't say Masai Mamana. It's very possible that she said she was mocha b'davar. And she's mocha b'davar. That's why you don't have to actually mention the amount in the Mishnah. But hach over here, so that's the, in general, he's allowed to do such a thing. But when it comes to this, which is, right. When it comes to our Mishnah, however, our Mishnah, Shekasullah, Hiskabalti, Hacha, Lo Kasullah, Hiskabalti. The reason why our Mishnah says that if she didn't write any amount, we assume that it's 100, 200 because it's a situation where there was no Mechila. So in other words, yes, Mechila does in fact work, but only if there was a known Mechila. Our Mishnah is a case where there is no known Mechila, and that's why we have to go back to the original amount of 100 and 200. So that's the author of the Reisha. And Rabbi Yehuda also authored the Seifa that says that even though Achraus wasn't mentioned, that was a tel sofer, and it was implied. That's how you could explain Rabbi Yehuda, author of the Mishnah. Ibai Seima, you could explain Rabbi Meir, the author of the Mishnah, my chayiv, when the Mishnah says that you're chayiv to pay. In other words, if you didn't write the nechasim acharayin in the ksuba, then he'll still have a chayiv, not to say that there's a chayiv of the husband to pay from the nechasim mishubadim because there's no acharayin, it's rather my dechayiv de katani minam nechuron. Even though he didn't say his property is responsible to pay for his wife, they are responsible. Any karka that's still in his possession must be used to pay for it. But ain't a chanam, if he sells a property, there is no lien, there's no acharayin on this property, it's because of Mayor holds that Achraus is lav tells Sofer, and you are allowed to leave it off the list. So now the Gemara quotes last few narrow lines of the page here. Lo kasav levechule. Let's say he didn't say that he's going to a redeemer. That was certainly understood that he has a responsibility to redeem her if she's taken captivity. So Amar Avur the Shmuel, the father of Shmuel said the following: Eishes Yisrael shenensa asur labayla. That if the Eishes Yisrael is nensa, she's asur to her husband, which goes against everything we've learned. We learned that a woman who's nensa is mutter to her husband, only an Eishes Kohen, shenensa, is asur to her husband. But not a Yisrael, Eishes Yisrael. But he's mechadish, Eishes Yisrael, shenensa, asur labayla. Why? Chayshinan shema tchilasa ba'ones v'sofa baratzen. We're concerned that maybe, although initially she was forced into doing this, but in the end of the day, her Yetzirah overtook her, and she did this willingly. It was done Beratzon, and the Eishes Yisrael, who's Beratzon, is a Nechanami Aser to her husband. Look at two quick tosuses on the bottom here. Asur Labayla, Ein Lahakshas, don't ask me the question, me Esther. Esther, who was taken by Achashverosh Baal Karcha, and she was mutter to be with her husband Mordechai, Dishar the Mordechai, isn't that Nensa? And then she was permitted to Mordechai? It's against Avod Shmuel? No, don't bring me kashas from Esther. Tzadekes Gemur Haisa. She was on a different level. She was Nensa B'tchila V'ad Sof. But a regular woman who's a normal woman, not such a level, we assume Sofa might be Beratzim, Rechoshu might be Beratzim. Now Tosis writes in the next one, Onis, the Sharachmana, actually, we'll skip that one. We'll get back to it. Fine. So anyways, he says that Eishes Yisrael Shenensa is Asura Labayla Chashinan Shema Tichilasa Be'ones B'Sofa Beratzim. Asks Rav. Eisei Rav to Labur de Shmuel. Labur de Shmuel asks the following question. Im Tishtabi, if she gets captured, Uparkinach, and he redeems her, Vosfina Lechli Nisui, his responsibility to bring her back to be her husband, her wife, his wife, Ishtek. So we see clearly there that if it's the Ksuba says, Vasvinach Li Lenuse, to be my wife again. Now, according to Avud Shmuel, it's usher for her to be his wife because we see, he just said, and Nensa is usher to her husband. So maybe the husband has a right to redeem her to continue to be his wife. That's usher according to Avud Shmuel. Chashin and Shema Baratzon. So Ishtik, he was quiet, had no response. And Kari Rav Allah, Avud Shmuel, Rav referred to Avud Shmuel, Sarim Atu Mimilim, a master who was stopped by words. He couldn't respond. The Kaf Yasimu Lepfiyim, he put his hand on his mouth. He had nothing to say. So my Shlomeimer, what could he have answered? What Avud Shmuel should have answered is, in general, you're right. In general, what you're saying might be correct, that Eish Yisrael Shenensa is Asura. When it comes to Shvuya, when it comes to not a case of Nensa, but a person who's held captivity, we have special kulas b'shvuya hikilu, or makeup by Shvuya. It's not a regular case of Nensa. This was taken captivity, and for other reasons, so there's special leniencies in this case, maybe she should be allowed. So then the Gemara says, okay. Now, in the world of Avu the Shmuel, who holds that Ones is actually Usr, Eish Yisrael is Usr to her husband, Ones, the Shari Achmana Heich Mishkachza, how do you ever have a case where Ones is permitted? He certainly must agree that Ones of Eish Yisrael is permitted. Because it can't be true that everyone is Usr, because the Gemara, the Pasuk clearly states that the Lach is that Eish Yisrael Shenens is Mutter to her husband. And Chachamim cannot be Oker in Mefurish Pasuk. Mefurish Pasuk says that Eish Yisrael is allowed, whose Nens is permitted to be her husband. So Chum can't say, oh, she's also to be with her husband. That's not, you can't go against the Torah. There must be at least a case where even Avu the Shmuel would agree that Eish Yisrael is a mutter to be with her husband, even in the case of Nensa. So what is that? Hecha Mishkachasla. Kigon the Kamri Eidim, where the Eidim testify, Shetzavcha Mitchilavatzav, where she's screaming and yelling from beginning to the end. So there it's very clear that even Besofa, it was Ones, it wasn't Ratzon. That's where he would admit she would be permitted. But if there's no screaming at the end, then that would imply that it was done by Ratzon, and the halacha would be she should be usher to her husband. And the Gemara says that all of this chiddush Avod Shmuel, is a plea that Rava goes against Rava Shita. Dama Rava holds, kol shetchilasa bonus, v'sofa Ratzon, afilu hi omer sehanichalo, that if it was done in the against the will initially, and the end was done willingly, even if she says at the end, Hanichala, let him ignore him if people are watching, says that let him be, Shilmale, lo niskakale, had he not forced me, he Sakharta, I would have hired him, I'm very happy doing this. In the end of the day, it's still Muteris, my timeout, but what's the reason why? If the sofa is Baratzon, she said such a statement, that certainly is Baratzon, how is that still onus? My timeout, Yatza al-Bashe, she was overtaken by the Yetzihara, and that we can't blame her for. If it's Tchilo is Baonis, I don't care what happens at the end. It's always onus according to the Lacha Rava. So that's the Machlokas Rava and Avua Dishmul. Just look at Tosis in the bottom here. Onus, the Sharachman, Heichem, Mishkachasla, the Alpha Gav, the Avua Dishmul, Chashinan Kamar. Even though Avua Dishmul only used the word Chashinan, which implies it's only a Dirabun, a Chashash Ba'alma, Tosis says it has to be Mashma, Le Midwadaisid Kamar. Must be talking on a Torah level. Because the Dima Derban had been only a Derban, and Rechoshish Bama, the Hayu Motin also Mibaila Akach. We wouldn't say because of Chashash, she can't stay married to her husband anymore. It must be when Avu the Shmuel said this, it was talking about on a Deraisa level, not just a Chashash. It's really Deraisa. She becomes us with her husband, and we force them to get divorced. So back inside the Gemara, now four wide lines down, the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasa de Rava. There's a Baisa that supports Rava. That woman who's Nensa is mutter to her husband. V'hilo nitzpasa, if she wasn't grabbed, asur, she's awesome, meaning she did this willingly. Implying, ha-nitzpasa, if she was grabbed, she was forced, muteris, she's mutter. V'yesh l'cha acheris, and there's another situation, she'afa pishla nitzpasa, even though she wasn't grabbed, muteris, she's still permitted to her husband. What's that? V'ezezu, kol she'tchilasa ba'ones v'sofa baratzon. If she was taken against her will initially, and although the end was done baratzon, we assume that's still against the will, that's still Nensa, and that Brisa clearly supports the Shita of Rafa. Tan Idach, there's another Brisa that says differently, V'hi lo nitpasa, if she wasn't grabbed, she's asura to her husband, meaning she did it willingly, she's asura to be with her husband. Ha nitpasa, if she was grabbed, mutar, she's mutar with her husband. V'yesh l'cha acheris, there's another situation, she'afa pisha nitpasa, even though she was grabbed, it was against her will, she actually would be asura. Where would that be? Ezezu, Eishes Karin. As we learned, Eishes Karin, who's Nansa, even though it's against her will, it should be asur to her husband. And Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Mishim Rabbi Yishmol, another Joshua, V'ilal Nitpasa, she wasn't grabbed, she's asur, asura. Ha Nitpasa, if she was grabbed, muter, she's permitted. V'yeshcha Charis is yet another case, She'afa Pishla Nitpasa, even though she wasn't grabbed, she's still muteris, she's still mutter to her husband. What's that? Ve'zezu, Kshekidushah, Kedusha tells, let's say she got married, and there was a marriage based on the Tanai, and the Tanai was never fulfilled, so there was never Kedusha in the first place, and she was never married, so although she may have been mezon with another person, since the Kedusha initially was unraveled, there is no Isser with the husband to ever marry him in the future. She may marry the husband in the future. She'afil bunab murkav aksefa, even she's holding her son on her shoulders from that husband of hers, mamanis v'alechazla, she could walk away if the Kedusha in Tanai was never fulfilled later on. That would be another situation where, though it's not Nitzvasa, she's still mutter with that man later on in life. And then the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Hani Nashi, these women, the Ganvu Ganve, that the robbers steal from their husbands, so they stole some, they captured some women who were married women, Sharin Leguvai, when they returned back, they may be with their husbands. We assume that's all a case of onus and not a case of ratzon, and therefore they can stay married to the Yisrael. So Amri Le Rabban Le Rav Yehuda, Vakam Amtina Le Nahama. But don't we see such women when it happens, unfortunately, they bring food and provide food for the captors. So Machmas here, that's because they're scared of them, not because they like them, not because Baratzon, they're scared they're going to be killed. So that's why they make food and whatnot for them. Vakam Meshachin Le Gire, don't we see they also somehow at times get arrows to give the Ganavim so they could kill the husbands of these women? Machmas here, they only get the weapon because they're scared of the Ganavim, but they still love their husbands. Vaday Shafkinim, but Vaday, if let's say the Ganavim, let them go free. You're allowed to go free. V'azim and if a shayu, and they go back to the robbers, then asur, that certainly is an indicator that they're doing this barasan, and then they would be asur to their husbands. And Tanur Ban, the Braisa says, Shvui Malchus, those who are held captive by Malchus, Harein Kishvun, they're Kishvun, general Shvun, which means that we don't assume that we're Nensa, by Shvun, we're Mekel by such women, so they're not allowed to go back to their husbands. Genuvi Listos, however, if they're taken by robbers, that's not called shvuyin. That's actually called they do things beratzon, and that's not a case of shvuya hekilu. And they're also to go back to the husbands. We have a brisa says otherwise, that by malchus they're also to be with the husband, and by listin they're mutter to be with the husband. So we have a stira. Which types of captivities would render them also would render them a mutter? And the Gemara says, there is no contradiction. Haba malchus achashverosh, haba malchus ben natzer. So if they're held captive by Malchus Achashverosh, these women have no das at all to marry these men. They're not going to marry the king. That's ludicrous for them to marry the king. So there might be nensa by the king, but not to marriage. So they'll never do this beratzon. It will only be a nensa. They never imagine marrying the king. So therefore, it's nenas, and they're mutter to be the husband. As opposed to the robbers, who are much lower down to their, you know, to their level, so they could actually foresee themselves marrying these people. They're closer to them in their class, and maybe they'll do beratzon. Maybe they have hopes to be married to such a robber. The robber's got some power, some authority, and maybe they'll be willing to do this. That might be a case of ratzon. So that's the situation where there'd be usser to be with the husband. List and a list of lokasha, the different types of listas. Also, sometimes winner mutter, sometimes you're usser. What's the difference? Haba ben netzer, ben metzer, who was like a very powerful listim, so that's usser because they have some hasago, some women, as long as maybe, even though they're taking captivity, maybe they'll marry this guy and they'll have some power control of the city. But haba listim ba'am, regular bandits, gang members on the street, there's no thoughts of marrying such a person. So if they're raped, it's all but nansa, it's certainly against their will, and they'd be permitted to their husbands. So then the Gemara points out, Uben Netzer, this Ben Netzer is like a type of king. So one time we call him Hasam Karle Melech, we first call him a king, then Hacha Karle List him, then we call him a robber. Which one is he? Is he a king or is he a robber? In Gavi Achashverosh, with respect to Achashverosh, this person was a listim. Achashverosh was a king, he was a nothing, he was a robber. But who? The Gabri listen, but if you compare him relative to other robbers, Dama Melchu, who is much more powerful than regular robbers, so is somewhere in between. Either way, the understanding here is, if something was done in such a way where the woman could imagine marrying the person, it was such a hasaga to marry the person, then we assume it was done by Ratzon, us to be with the husband. But if there's no hasaga to ever marry them, the king, she'll never marry the king, and a regular gang member should never marry him, those situations would be certainly Nansa, and she'd be permitted to be with her husband. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos.